In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Biden and the Democrats finally got what they so desperately wanted, a label, convicted felon. And in doing so, the modern-day Democrat Party finally dropped its own mask to reveal itself for what it is, completely and utterly corrupt. To get that label, all they had to do was be willing to corrupt themselves and corrupt the legal system. Ignore the statute of limitations, find a willing, corrupt state prosecutor to change a misdemeanor to a felony, and use a novel legal theory to claim it was so Trump could cover up an unnamed crime. Then, find a more than willing, corrupt judge to ignore laws or due process. Apparently, Democrats think hanging the label of convicted felon on Trump will turn people against him. But it won't work. When your Democrat friends start throwing around Trump is a convicted felon, just smile and ask them if they supported convicted felon George Floyd. Once again, Democrats underestimate people, because this use of lawfare, the abuse and corruption of the entire legal system itself just to get Trump, makes them look corrupt. So hungry and desperate to retain power that they will do anything to take out their political rival. Just what are they guilty of that they are this desperate? But that boomerang never occurred to them. And that's because Democrats, the far left, socialists, and Marxists of all stripes truly misunderstand people. Socialism fails everywhere it's tried because the essence of Marxism is built on a complete misperception of humanity, the human condition, and humans themselves. Because thanks to the Democrats so brazenly corrupting themselves and corrupting the justice system to go after their political rival, they made Trump incredibly human and relatable. So now, the deep state is beginning to panic. They are desperately worried that Trump just might win. You may have already heard reports that if Trump gets reelected, he might weaponize, their word, might weaponize the spy agencies against his political enemies. In other words, they are terrified that Trump might do to them what they did to him. And they should be worried, because what they did to him was illegal and corrupt, and they need to be held accountable. And that's the difference. Trump would be holding them accountable, unlike what they did, which was to weaponize the government against an innocent person. People like Andrew McCabe, who was deeply involved with the entire Russia collusion hoax, a corrupt FBI official if there ever was one, is now warning that some FBI agents will flee the country if Trump wins. Once again, McCabe doesn't get it. By broadcasting that fear, it confirms the guilt. People who have done nothing wrong don't need to flee the country. In fact, stay behind and help prosecute the guilty. And that corruption, not just of the legal system, but the whole of government, is why the Republican Party now needs to run as the anti-corruption party. It's not just re-elect Trump anymore, but give him a Congress that can thoroughly audit the whole of government and hold people accountable for their abuse of it. That is what the Democrats are afraid of. So on today's show, it's about securing the victory. And that's not just messaging, it's not just advertising, it's not just rallies. It's the all-important step to ensure victory, getting out the vote. Because after the corruption of government we've seen and the lengths to which the Democrats are willing to go, winning is the only option. To talk about getting out that vote, I'd like to welcome Matthew Martinez. He is the Chase the Vote strategist for Turning Point Action. Matthew, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you.
Mark, well, thank you very much for having me on, and so great to talk to you. The folks up in Oregon, and hopefully you guys have better weather than we're having here in Phoenix. It's going to be 110 degrees.
Oh my gosh!
Tomorrow.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
That's actually a cool day in Phoenix.
You need to put an air conditioner in a little red wagon and take it with you there. Oh my gosh, 110.
I think so. Yeah, we have a lot of swamp coolers going around this time of the year.
I bet. We want to talk to you about getting out the vote. I'm so excited to see what you guys are doing in these battleground states. And for our audience members that may not be too familiar with Turning Point, especially Turning Point Action, tell us a little bit about your organization and what you guys do.
Terrific. Yeah. So Turning Point Action is actually the political arm of Turning Point USA. So Turning Point Action is the 501c4 part of the organization, and we can engage politically. And that's what we're doing with our Chase the Vote operation. We're engaging with low propensity Republican voters across the battleground states. And we're doing that by making sure that these people are registered to vote. Well, we're making sure that they're plugged in locally. But when it comes to these low propensity Republican voters, we're actually doing a different tactic. And we're chasing ballots. Now, keep in mind, there's a difference between ballot chasing and ballot harvesting. Now, ballot harvesting in most states, and especially here in Arizona, ballot harvesting is illegal. That means, Mark, if you were to say, Matthew, hey, can you come by and pick up my ballot and drop it off for me? I can't do that. That is 100% illegal for me to do. Now, in other states like Michigan, ballot harvesting is legal. You could tell anybody to go pick up your ballot, and a lot of people do that in states like Michigan. But what ballot chasing is, in a nutshell, it's our strategic initiative to ensure that we target a type of universe of voters, which in this case is low propensity Republican voters, and ensure that they make a plan to vote. That's what we're doing in Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia, and Michigan right now.
And are you expanding to the other battleground states as well? Is that the plan?
Eventually. So what's really cool about Turning Point Action is that we have two different types or multiple attributes and columns within this organization. We have full-time people right now in the number one 10 battleground states across America. That is Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Florida, Georgia, and I think I got them all. If I didn't say Iowa, then there you go. There's Iowa as well. So we have people right now in all 10 of those states building relationships with people on the local level, the county GOPs, the state party GOPs, and getting people plugged in and making sure that we win back our neighborhood. Something that we say here at Turning Point Action quite often, and frankly, I might tattoo this to myself, is be neighborly. There's no need for us to have this strict political conversation with people out in the field and ask, what are the number one issues facing Arizona today? What are the number one issues facing Oregon today? What we should do is frankly just be neighbors and talk to our neighbors and win back our streets. I'll tell you this, Mark, the battle is not in Washington, D.C., nor it is in Phoenix, nor is it in Portland. Where the battle is within our own neighborhood.
Yes. Yeah, I think
it's
there's
within
that,
our own street.
Yep. I think there's that saying, all politics is local. And I think that's exactly right.
Correct.
Let's go take a break a little bit early. There's so much to talk about chasing these ballots and what people can be doing to help get the vote out. We're doing that with Matthew Martinez. He is the Chase the Vote strategist for Turning Point Action. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the I Spy Radio Show. We're talking today to Matthew Martinez. He is heading up the ballot chasing initiative for Turning Point USA, their action team, to turn out low propensity Republican voters in 2024. And just to back up a little bit, I understand you were Kerry Lake's field director. Watching what happened there in Arizona. Is that what got you involved in Turning Point Action and this Chase the Ballot initiative?
Mark, working with Kerry was a job of a lifetime, and there's so much I could talk about with Kerry and how much I love that gubernatorial race. What was really beautiful about this, Mark, is that we built one of the largest field operations in the country, and in that gubernatorial race with Kerry Lake, we had over 4,000 registered volunteers on that campaign, doing from door knocking to sending out postcards, from hosting events and fundraisers. It was frankly gorgeous seeing how that happened. Now, what hurts me, Mark, is that doing a postmortem after that election, I'd recognize that there was a lot of Republicans who didn't vote in Arizona last cycle. I'll tell you this. We had about over 300,000 registered Republicans who received their early ballots in Arizona who left it at home. These people just left it on their kitchen counters. Mm. And if we had just an ounce of ballot chasing in Arizona alone, we would have a Governor Kari Lake right now. And I'll tell you this, if we just had a few precincts, and precincts are like more like neighborhoods, essentially.
Right.
I think in Oregon, you guys call them probably wards.
No, they're precincts. Wards. Yeah, no, they're precincts.
Precincts, terrific. Yeah. So if we had just a little bit of ballot chasing in just a select precincts in Maricopa County, we would have an Attorney General Abe Hamadeh. Abe Hamadeh's race was determined by 280 votes. Kari Lake's race was determined by 17,000 votes. Arizona is a battleground state. And when we don't invest in Republican turnout, we're not going to win elections. So after that gubernatorial race, I recognize that we need to make sure that we turn out our base. Almost, and I gave you that statistic, over 300,000 registered Republicans chose to sit at home and left their ballots there. Mm. Ballot chasing will ensure that these people just drop off their ballots. These voters are disengaged, and they're disengaged for a reason. And this is where I get a little bit geeky here, Mark, is that I broke down precinct by precinct in Arizona. I know how many registered Republicans are likely not to vote in 2024. And I also know how many of them didn't vote in 2022 and in 2020 and 2016. What we're doing here at Turning Point Action is ensuring that these registered Republicans who are chronically disengaged when it comes to presidential elections just drop off their ballots. This is a numbers game, Mark. If we get more ballots in boxes, we will win elections. Well, and in fact, if we just go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, because you're talking about disengaged voters and that these are people who are unlikely to vote. What's the criteria you base that on? Is just that they're not, they haven't been voting, or is there something else?
So the methodology that we're using in this operation is looking at Republicans who did not vote in either 2016 presidential general election or in 2020 presidential general election. The reason for that, Mark, is because you have to compare apples to apples. A midterm election is going to have a completely different turnout, also a different type of voting election or voting universe, right? And also primary elections will have a different type of turnout and voting universe as well. What I'm looking for is Republican voters who are chronically disengaged when it comes to presidential general elections, because that's what we want to win. Mark, we want to win back Arizona. We want to win back Wisconsin, Georgia. And frankly, we have our eyes open or looking at some of your congressional races in Oregon. But what we want to do most importantly is win back our White House, right? In order for us to win back the White House, we have to look at which states yield the most electoral votes and which ones are most competitive. Mathematically, Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia, Michigan, in that order, are the most important states to win back the White House. Now, keep in mind, Nevada is super competitive. And absolutely. The gubernatorial race, the senatorial race was super close. However, Nevada only has 6 electoral votes. In Arizona, we have 11. In Georgia, there's 16. In Wisconsin, there's 10 electoral votes. So those states alone yields enough votes to win back the White House.
Sure.
Right. So we have our eyes on that. And frankly, we're excited for President Trump. He's coming to Arizona tomorrow for one of our events that we're having here, our Chase the Vote town hall. We're going to be talking about what is Chase the Vote, and how can people at that event, that rally, just turn out their neighborhood.
Yeah,
what this comes down to, Mark, is making sure that these people who come to our events and wherever, this could be in Oregon, Arizona, or whatever state, let's make sure that we turn out our neighbors to vote. If we do that collectively, we'll win elections across the board.
Yes. Yeah, that town hall event will actually air before our show airs. So we'll make sure that we put some links to that up on iSpyRadio.com on today's show page, which is 14-23. Getting back to the disengaged voters, do you interview them as part of the process to try to understand, okay, what's the most common themes I'm hearing from people as to why they're choosing not to vote?
That's a great question. We're hearing a lot that people just don't know who to vote for. Hmm. They get confused about who's on the ballot. For instance, and I have to double check in how it is in Oregon, but in Arizona, we have the option to retain judges. That adds about another 30 different candidates to choose from on our ballot. Our ballot looks like a menu from Cheesecake Factory. It's huge. There's a lot of people to vote for. And if you're a regular American, you're not thinking about politics all the time. You're thinking about your family. You're thinking about kitchen table issues, perhaps, maybe the gas prices or a sporting event that's going on. The last thing you're thinking about is which judge I'm going to be voting for, right? So a lot of these disengaged Republicans that we do come across are just need extra help on understanding on who to vote for and how to fill out their ballot. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's education. And another thing, Mark, and this is the sad truth about how our party's been working in past elections, but we've been hearing for years upon years that we need to focus on the most competitive congressional races or the most competitive areas in these battleground states. What I will tell you today, Mark, is that that is the biggest lie I've ever heard in my life. Hmm. Now, it's important to focus on competitive races. We will have to win our competitive races. But if we want to win back statewide races, we have to look at where Republicans are not voting. This is what's scary, Mark. A lot of Republicans who we do come across that are not voting in these elections are actually in the most safe Republican districts in these battleground states. When's the last time that we heard that we need to invest any money, any resources in any big district? These are Freedom Caucus congressmen. Or in Paul Gosar's district.
Yeah.
Or Debbie Lesko's district.
Yeah, you just
we have not heard that because those are the most safe Republican districts in Arizona. And those are actually where Republicans are most disengaged because they haven't had anybody invest in those districts.
Hmm.
When you don't invest a single dime or any field operations in these congressional districts, safe congressional districts, you neglect Republican voters in those areas.
Yes.
Another thing that we hear a lot is, oh, Andy Biggs, oh, he's going to win anyways. Why should I fill out my ballot?
Yeah. Yeah, well,
oh,
you know, this notion of not investing a dime, unfortunately, that is something that we in Oregon are very familiar with. Okay, it is time for a break. Lots more to unpack about chasing ballots and things you can do to take action. We're talking with Chase the Vote strategist for Turning Point Action, Matthew Martinez. And welcome back. We're talking about chasing ballots today. Well, we're doing that with Matthew Martinez. He is their Chase the Vote strategist for Turning Point Action. And I'd like to dig into what exactly chasing the ballot is and what that looks like. So I know that you guys have identified that you want to go after these low propensity voters. Is that entirely driven by looking at voter rolls? I mean, is that something that the average person can do, or does it take greater access to the voter rolls than maybe the average person would have?
So great question. I think in most states you can receive voter roll records. That's all public information. But the biggest thing that we could do here at Turning Point Action is that we've given out analyses to different county chairs across America. What we've done here is utilize our same methodology that we've used for our Chase the Vote initiative and done this for other counties. So county chairs and GOPs know exactly which precincts to hit or wards to hit this coming cycle, which wards will yield the biggest amount of results if they invest in ballot chasing. Mm-hmm. So we've done that for a lot of areas. And if anybody in Oregon, say a county chair in Oregon, wanted to have their own county analysis, please reach out to me, Matthew, MATTHEW, at tpaction.com. And I'll be more than happy to build one out for you. We have a robust team. We have someone who we just brought on. Her name is Miley, and she's writing up a lot of these analyses for a lot of people out in the country. We have, frankly, the best data team in the country, too, who's cranking out a lot of this homework to show these analyses. But the thing here is that we want to make sure that every county chair or whomever can have access to this. This is like the thing that bothered me a lot in other elections, is that it's really difficult for someone to recognize which precincts are most important, because you have to go through the county has to do their due diligence and research that. We can pull that information quickly and do our mathematics And a lot of this is somewhat already automated. So it's easy for us to do this for county chairs. We've also done this on a statewide level. The biggest thing here is that we know exactly which precincts we should be hitting to win back these elections or even congressional races across America. And what it comes down to is which of these Republicans are likely not to vote, and let's ensure that we build a relationship with them. And that's actually what we're doing completely different here at Turning Point Action. Instead of having a transactional relationship with these voters, we're building a relationship with them, a relationship built of trust. So, for instance, last cycle, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to dig into that. So go ahead.
Yeah, so last cycle and in years past, we had a lot of people go out canvass, right? Canvassing is great. And I would recommend that's the best way to build relationships with these voters is shaking their hand, kissing babies, shaking hands, right? But what they used to do is fill out a survey. They would knock on someone's door, ask, what's the number one issue facing Oregon today? What's the number one issue facing Arizona? And then never go back to that house. And frankly, they didn't make sure that voter dropped off their ballot. That's not how we win. Right? We could have all the conversations in the world, but if we didn't ensure that voter dropped off their ballot, we've done ourselves a disservice. But that's what we're going to change differently here at Turning Point Action. We're not only just talking to these voters at their doors, we're inviting them out to cookouts. We're inviting them to barbecues at parks, bounce houses at parks. We have field organizers right now and ballot chasers who are hosting bingo nights at their local community center with these low propensity Republican voters. We shouldn't go out and have political conversations immediately. And frankly, Mark, it's not normal to knock on someone's door and immediately go into politics.
Really?
It's frankly creepy, right?
They probably think you're a member of a cult or something.
Right. And it's just, I mean, I'm in politics, but when I go and talk to people for the first time, My first question isn't, hey, are you voting this election, right? My first question is, hey, did you catch the game? Did you watch the D-backs, right? The Suns are doing pretty good, right? I'm having those kind of conversations. That's exactly what our ballot chasers are doing every single day here in Arizona and Wisconsin. They're just building relationships with these low propensity voters. There's a reason why they're not voting, Mark. They're disengaged when it comes to politics. The political ads, the yard signs, street signs that they see, the mailers that they're getting in their mailbox is not working for these low propensity voters. What they need is someone that they could trust from their neighborhood, which leads to my second point about our ballot chasers. We're hiring ballot chasers to be the community organizers within their own neighborhood. We're not hiring someone from Tucson to come up to Phoenix to have conversations with Phoenix. Or likewise, we're not having anybody from Buckeye go to Mesa to have conversations with people in Mesa. We're having this be extremely local, down to the neighborhood level. What's best for me, Mark, is for me to go talk to my neighbors on my own street. Because one, I know my neighbors, but two, they know who I am, and it's easier for me to build a relationship with them. What's not good for me, Mark, is to send me to, let's say, Portland. I don't know anything about Portland, and I'll be honest with you, I've never been to Oregon, so maybe I should come up very soon. But that's what we've been seeing in past elections. You're having a lot of Arizonans go to New York, or New Yorkers go down to Georgia. Californians go to Chicago. There's no syntax. There's no ethos built up in that conversation. What we're doing here is hiring people from their own neighborhoods to build relationships with their own neighbors on their own streets.
And when you say hiring, are you talking like full-time jobs or part-time jobs, paying
full-time
expenses?
Full-time jobs. Yes. So these are full-time people. We're hiring them, paid positions, and there's also part-time positions as well. And we're paying them to bake cookies at their home and deliver those cookies to their neighbors.
Huh.
We're paying them to have bingo nights and barbecues at parks. Anything that we can do, or even host lemonade stands in their own cul-de-sac. Anything that we can do to ensure that we have these relationships built up trust is how we're going to win this next election. What we're moving is that old school 1980s way of campaigning, of engaging these first-time voters or low propensity voters with political messages. We need to remove the political messages and just be neighbors.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just be neighborly.
Yep, I think that's a great approach. Okay, let's go and take a break. Still lots more to talk about chasing those ballots. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Matthew Martinez of Turning Point Action. And welcome back. This is the Ask Bible Radio Show. I'm your host, Mark Anderson. We're talking today to Matthew Martinez. And we've been talking about chasing ballots today and getting the vote out. And you were talking about building relationships with people. And I think that's so key. As far as building that ongoing relationship, I assume that within that, it's not like you're avoiding politics altogether, because otherwise it would look kind of suspicious that you have these bingo nights and lemonade stands and all the rest that you mentioned. And then at the very end, that's when you talk about, okay, well, do you have your ballot and can I help you out with that? I assume that's just part of the process. So can you describe how that unfolds over the course of the election?
The initial contact is the most important part about ballot chasing. If we can't build a relationship in that first 7 seconds, it's going to be really hard for us to chase that ballot. Hmm. Now, what it comes down to is how many ballots can we get into boxes? How many ballots can be chased? Now, what's going to make it very easy for people to chase ballots is by building relationships and getting to know your neighbors on a first-name basis, right? So, politics with these low-propensity Republican voters is a big turnoff. They're not obsessed with politics, and if they were, they would be voting, right? Mm. So what they need is a non-political message, and that's something that is a little bit more unorthodox and revolutionary in our conservative movement, is that we've seen campaigns engage voters politically, thinking that voters are going to be motivated by hearing political messages. There's a handful of people, and again, like what I mentioned earlier, 300,000 registered Republicans who didn't vote last cycle, right? Those people are the ones the political message is not working for them. So, and honestly, Mark, I'll give you a real life example. I went out knocking doors in my neighborhood maybe a month ago, 2 months ago, and I was out there collecting signatures because I was running as a precinct committeeman here in Arizona. And when I was out using our Turning Point Action app, which I could talk about in just a bit, I was meeting with my neighbors, and I had one neighbor tell me, "Matthew, this is the first time I've ever had a Republican voter ever come to my door. No other Republicans ever knocked on my door. Thank you so very much for being here. Can you actually come back next week or in 2 weeks? My grandkids are going to come by. I need them to register to vote because this election is very important." Those are the conversations that we're having every single day with our ballot chasers on ground right now. They're building relationships, getting to know these voters, and these voters are having trust with our ballot chasers because for the most part, where our ballot chasers are in historically where Republicans have never knocked on doors before, right? These are not in the most competitive areas. These are actually in the most safe Republican areas that haven't had any Republican engagement ever, essentially.
Well, so you have a little bit of a novel approach, I guess, you know, looking at this, because so many times you hear about ballot chasing and people immediately go to the ballot harvesting where you've got the nightmare of somebody going around to like an old folks home and collecting hundreds of ballots and people giving over those ballots may not even realize what's been voted on them in their name or the voter may not even realize they've had their ballot taken. So I think people see that. But in terms of building that relationship, I think that's really a novel idea. And I think that's the right approach. But what's to stop Democrats from stealing your ideas to do that? Or have they already started stealing that idea?
Mark, the Democrats have been doing this for many years. For the past 6 years in Arizona, the Democrats have been doing ballot chasing. They've been chasing ballots left and right. Let me tell you this. Last cycle alone, we had, in Arizona, zero ballot chasers. We had no organization chase ballots last cycle. Now we had canvassers, we had door knockers, but they weren't chasing ballots. I, for the viewers who are listening, I'll tell you, this is really scary. The Democrats last cycle in Arizona had over 1,200 ballot chasers chasing ballots Wow. across the state. And they barely won elections here, right? If we just have an ounce of ballot chasing for ourselves here in Arizona in these battleground states, oh, Mark, we're going to be winning elections left and right. I'm so bullish about this operation. But yes, to answer that, the Democrats have been doing this for many years. A great example of this is Colorado. In 2002, the Democrats started investing into ballot chasing. They chased low propensity Democrat voters in Colorado, and they flipped that state immediately. Hmm. And you can read this. It's called the Blueprint Book. This is a book that was written by a Democrat operator, or a campaign strategist in Colorado, and about how he flipped the state to be solid blue. And all what it came down to was, did we get as many Democrats to vote as possible? About time. This is the first time that we're seeing the conservative movement invest into ballot chasing on a large scale like this. We didn't see this here in Arizona last cycle. We didn't see this in Wisconsin or in Georgia. What it comes down to, Mark, is about ballots in boxes. It's how many Republicans can you turn out? We can win elections by ensuring our base turns out to vote. There's no need for us to invest or even to have conversations with Democrats and trying to get Democrats to flip their voter registration or vote Republican or independents to flip to vote Republican. What we need to do is just ensure our base turns out to vote, right? And it's actually very expensive to have Democrats to vote Republican. And frankly, I mean, I know a lot of Democrats, and they're not changing their vote, right? They're stuck as a Democrat. But what I do know is that there's a lot of Republicans out there who just need someone like someone in Oregon, someone here in Arizona, just to build a relationship with them and help them ensure that they drop off their ballots this next cycle.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break. So more to unpack here about chasing ballots, and coming up, we're going to be talking about things that you could do to get involved. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're going to talk about chasing the vote today, and we're doing that with Matthew Martinez. He is the Chase the Vote strategist for Turning Point Action. And so, Matthew, I wanted to dig in a little bit here, too. In terms of the Democrats, they have typically had a much better ground game and get out the vote than Republicans have in the past. And you mentioned in that last segment there that the last cycle there, you guys did not have any ballot chasers versus the Democrats that had 1,200 of them. Why do you think that is? Because, you know, in some ways, it's been my perception that there's almost a reluctance by Republicans to go out and chase ballots and get the vote out, as almost as if it's beneath them to go get those ballots and make sure that people actually vote. Do you have any thoughts on why that is?
Well, I'll start off with this, Mark, is that we're much better than the Democrats.
Yes.
We have better policies. We're better looking than the Democrats. And we're going to be much better at ballot chasing than them this next cycle. But to answer that question of the dragging of the feet, I think it depends on who you're talking to. Now, I hear a lot of people say, well, Matthew, we need to have same-day election, one-day vote. And believe me, I am all for that. I want to go back to precinct-level voting and one day of election day. And frankly, we should make it a national holiday. But that's not the game right now. The rules are written as early ballots do exist. People can vote early. And if we tether ourselves back and say, oh, no, I'm not going to chase ballots for 28 days here in Arizona, well, that's how many days of early voting we have, we're only doing ourselves a disservice.
Yes.
What we're doing here at Turning Point Action is capitalizing on the opportunity to chase ballots for 28 days and ensure that these Republican voters just vote, right? So we have to play the rules as written. The Democrats are doing this. They're doing it very dirty. Right. But we're going to do it right. And we're going to do it. We're going to play by the rules as written.
Yeah. Well, and I know a lot of people don't like the rules. I know a lot of people would like to get back to single day voting, and I'm all for that. But if you don't like the rules, you can't change the rules unless you're the one that's in power, and you have to play by those rules in order to win.
Correct.
To change the rules. So that's the battlefield here. As far as how can people get involved? I know that you guys have an app that you use. Talk to us about that.
Oh, this is a great question. Anybody in America can get involved with us right now. all they need to do is pull up their phone, go to their App Store or Google Play Store, and type in TP Action and download our app right there. Hmm. In the app, and I have my app pulled up right now, I can start knocking on doors immediately.
Wow.
All I need to do is go and click on Help Knock Doors. It's probably going to ask me, and this goes for everybody, it's going to ask you for your phone number. That is so if you want to call voters, say knocking is not your thing, and here in Arizona when it's 120 degrees outside and you can literally fry eggs outside, door knocking is kind of hard, right?
Yes.
So if you want to make phone calls from the comfort of your home, it'll use your own personal phone number. The reason for that is because we want to build relationships with these low propensity voters, right? We don't want these voters to call back to a landline HQ somewhere off around the country. We want this to be local. But going back to the app, you can help knock on doors right now, and the app will populate the closest 15 Republicans near you.
Hmm.
The reason for that is that we don't want you to go across town, across county, go talk to voters there. We want you to talk to people within your own street.
And to be clear, this is for any state, not just Arizona or some of the other ones that you've targeted. Is this for any state?
Correct. Any state. So anybody in Oregon right now can download our app and see which Republican voters are near you as where you're at right now.
Hmm.
And you could go knock on those doors and ensure that they drop off their ballot, right? When ballots are out, when they're mailed out in Oregon, that's a great opportunity to go chase those ballots to ensure that those people make a plan to vote, whether they want to vote in person day of the election. Heck, I have a pickup truck. I'm going to be driving people to the polls. I'm going to put some hay barrels in the back of my truck and drive people there, right? Or if they need help with mailing ballots, that's your opportunity to help them find the post office or walk them to their mailbox, right? Or a lot of people just need help on who to vote for.
Right.
Not necessarily what policies they need to vote for or anything like that. They may not be familiar with the local congressional candidate or the House district, Senate district, right? And that's where you at home can help us out tremendously. Again, this is a numbers game. So if we win our streets, we can win back our state. And you can do that right now by downloading our app. There's some other features on our app too, where you can make phone calls. And I kind of prefaced this earlier. You can make phone calls and our app will populate the closest voters near you at that location. So you'll be calling people locally around you. You could also send out text messages. The app allows you to do that. So if you want to text your neighbors, you could do that too. And the app will also populate a automated message for you. And I would put in their first name as well. You can see their first name. You can see their last name. It'll send out text messages. And there's so much more you could do on the app, like register voters. You could check out our scorecard, which is really interesting. If you want to see how your state congressmen and U.S. senators are doing in the legislature or in Congress, we give them a score. We base it off their voting records. We have someone upstairs here at HQ in Phoenix. Her name is Flannery, and she's doing an incredible job on researching our congressmen and senators daily. And every time they vote, that gets updated on the app.
So
there's so many features you have, but the biggest thing about the app is that this is your campaign manager within your pocket.
Right, right. So real quick here, what are some of the biggest challenges that ballot chasers face? I mean, and for example, like what are the common fears that you hear about that somebody would like to do ballot chasing? What are some of the fears that they have that would stop them from getting involved?
I really don't hear any fears because the people that we're hiring already live in their neighborhoods. They're coming back saying like, oh, I know these neighbors. Oh, I know these people on my street. They haven't voted. Oh my gosh, that's the first person I'm going to go talk to. So it's more excitement that people are saying on the field. They're excited that they could do dog walks, right, with their neighbors. This is just getting our neighbors activated again. And frankly, what this comes down to is I think the past 10 years or so, We lost the art of just talking to people.
Yes.
We lost the art of just being neighborly within our own communities. This is a revival of being neighborly again and making sure that your neighbors are activated and they're politically activated and that they vote and promote their civic duty as an American.
Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, organizations and trainings. We'll wrap up with that with Matthew Martinez. He's the Chase the Vote strategist for Turning Point Action. Stay with us. And welcome back in our final segment. Now here on the iSpire Radio Show, we've been talking with Matthew Martinez. He is the Chase the Vote strategist for Turning Point Action. And been talking about things that you can do to help get the vote out this year. And so I'm curious, has anybody from the Oregon Republican Party reached out to you to enlist Turning Point Action's help here? Or at least, I know that we're not targeted as a swing state like Arizona or Michigan or these other ones, but could we at least get some training? Has anybody reached out to you for that?
I've had heard of some talk of some county GOPs that would like to have us present about ballot chasing. But outside of that, you guys are the first people to talk to me. Now, I'm pretty sure that there are people in Oregon who've reached out to us, but it hasn't got to me yet about ballot chasing.
Okay.
However, that doesn't mean that we can't do that.
That's right.
So if you're a county chairman and you want to learn a lot more about ballot chasing and how you can ballot chase this next cycle or this in 2024 or 2026. I know you guys have a gubernatorial race in 2026.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know. And I'll be more than happy to help you out, because all I want is to win back our White House. I want to win back and make sure that Republicans are represented in our Congress, in our Senate, and our state legislatures. So I want to see everybody succeed. And I want these county chairs to succeed within their own communities.
Okay. As far as trainings, I know that you guys are looking at doing some hiring. So is that things that people can be doing from Oregon, or is it just in those states where in the swing states that you've targeted, the battleground states?
So no, we don't have anybody in Oregon right now. But that doesn't mean you can't engage politically or in chase ballots in your home state.
Sure.
By downloading our app, you could do so in Oregon. Now, what we're doing here in Turning Point Action is hiring people from Arizona and Wisconsin to chase ballots. So if you live in Mesa or in Buckeye or Yavapai County, Cochise County, Yuma in Arizona, we want to hire you. If you live in West Berlin, you live in Milwaukee, Oak Creek, Brown County, Green Bay, La Crosse County, Madison, we'll hire you. We're looking for people right now in Kenosha and Racine. So I'm not sure if your viewers are from those states, but if they know anybody in those areas, in those two states, we'll hire them. All they need to do is type in tpaction.com/careers, and they'll see those job postings on our website.
Well, I had listened to your interview with Jenny Beth of Tea Party Patriots, and I know that you guys are looking at trying to build some alliances with other organizations that are out there. So what are some of the other organizations you guys have already partnered with?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll be honest with you, Mark, there's just too many ballots for one organization to chase.
Oh, absolutely.
This next cycle. That's why it's so important for us to partner with other organizations who want to chase ballots as much as we do. So we're working with Scott Pressler's organization, Early Vote Action. We're working with Tea Party Patriots Action, which is Jenny Beth's organization. We're working with Run Gen Z. So we're engaging Gen Z voters and ensuring that they vote. A lot of Gen Z voters, and I'm a member of Gen Z as well, I'm 23, haven't voted in the presidential election. A lot of them, this may be their first time ever voting. So we want to ensure that they drop off their ballots. So Gen Z is helping us out with that. We're also working with College Republicans of America and a lot more other organizations. So if you have a national or state organization and you want to chase ballots with us, please reach out to me or go to our website and sign up there. Let us know that you have an organization and you want to be an alliance member with us. Then we have some guy named Chris Chavez. He's a big winner. And he'll reach out to you and ensure that you have everything you need to become an alliance member with Turning Point Action.
I'm just curious, because we just had an interviewer a couple of weeks ago, Catherine Engelbrecht, she's the president of True the Vote. Are you guys partnering with them? Because that would seem to be a really natural partnership.
Yeah, we know a lot of people in Truth the Vote. They have an organization here in Arizona too. And we see them at a lot of events, and we know them pretty well.
Hmm. So as far as, you know, the general coming up real soon here, is there a time limit that people have in terms of getting involved? I mean, is there a point at which it's too late to get involved? Especially since so much of what we've been talking about is relationship building, and I recognize that's going to take time to do that. So how much time out from the election should people be thinking? Because it seems like right now, this is the best time.
Get involved as early as you can. Why wait? Why wait to get involved? Yeah. But if I were to throw some deadlines, there are some like some pretty nerdy deadlines. Here in Arizona, there is voter registration deadlines. You have to be registered to vote 28 days before the election. So that's coming up, or actually, that's actually passed if you wanted to vote in the Arizona primary election. Now, that there is deadlines for that. So if you're an activist on ground and you want to help us out in Arizona, we need to make sure that these people are registered to vote before the deadline for the general election.
Right. And of course, building relationships is always going to take time. And so the sooner you can get started, the better, and we'll make sure that we have links to your app and also contact information for you as well up on iSpyRadio.com. Again, it's show 14-23. Matthew, I want to thank you so much for your time today. We look forward to having you back.
Hey, thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate being on. And let's win back Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia, and also Oregon as well.
Absolutely. To get that app and find other information, head to iSpyRadio.com. Today's show page is 14-23. There's also contact information there for Michael Martinez. In 2022, across five House districts in Oregon, a total of only 4,300 votes would have flipped those five seats to Republicans. House District 40 in Clackamas County only needed 182 more votes. Two districts, 49 and 50, in deep blue Multnomah County would have flipped with only 904 and 860 more Republican votes. Multnomah! Those five seats would have given Republicans control of Oregon's House. Just 7,200 votes in Congressional District 6 would have flipped that seat. This year, CD4 is also in play, and the Democrats have already signaled that their candidate there, their incumbent candidate, is vulnerable. Winning is the only option. We can do this, but it is going to take action, and that means you. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.